All right, folks, this is the first episode of the Native Cracker Podcast. I am Ty Diamond, here with my co-host,
Nick Clark.
And we're going to be bringing you guys stories about hunting, fishing, and any other things we want to bullshit about as we go about our day.
Yes, sir. This weekend was opening weekend of bow season, so we'll start out with that.
Yeah, we'll get into that. We'll get into that. Calm down there. Right now, let's go into a little bit of an introduction.
Okay. Yeah. I figure we should probably do that first. Yeah. You're right.
Tell the people who we are. And not to lie to you guys, we've tried this like 3 times. Like, this is...
We're trying to work the quirks out. We you know, kind of bought some beginner equipment. It's a little fuzzy. We've tried playing with it. The microphones, you know, they're kind of cheap. So we're going to start it off with doing what we're doing. And, you know, if we get some feedback and stuff like that, then we'll upgrade and try to, you know, mess with the sound a little bit with some higher grade microphones and stuff to get it going good.
So if anybody out there is looking, $65 on Amazon or $70 can get you into the podcast game.
Yep.
At the lowest end of the spectrum.
But just remember, it doesn't really sound that great.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Nick, go ahead, bud. What you got?
Name's Nick Clark. I was born and raised in Mims, lived here my whole life. Love hunting, fishing, four-wheel drive, airboating, does anything outdoors. Grew up doing it with my dad and my granddad. We decided, you know, we're gonna do a podcast to talk about some of our experiences, just things like that. Talk about, you know, the different hunting seasons, different fishing stuff, you know, fishing seasons, tarpon season, all of that. Get into a little bit of everything so we can, you know, kind of expand into a bunch of different people that would be interested in listening to us talk about all these sorts of things.
Just bullshit.
Yeah. Pretty much just a lot of bullshit.
Hopefully we can get some people on here to, you know, we can fool them to walk into this little shed that we're working out here. They're totally going to think something nefarious is going on.
But. Yep. Yeah. We're going to have some guests. We're going to do that. We got a bunch of vices and stuff set up in here. So we'll tie flies, sip on a little bit of whiskey and podcast. So thank you guys for tuning in. I'll let Ty take it over from here.
All right. So my name is Ty Diamond. I've been in Florida my whole life. Love to hunt, love to fish. I've hunted in other states a lot more than I've fished in other states. I've hunted South Carolina, Alabama. I've got 80 acres in Alabama that I frequent. But yeah, man, I'm excited about this. This is going to be able to tell a lot of stories. Native Floridian, just like Nick over here. So we're going to have a lot of good stuff to talk about. I mean, the first couple episodes we tried to record was all pre-deer season. So there was a lot more fishing talked about, but yep, I don't know how much they're going to get on this because there's hunting on the brain. That's the only thing on our brains right now.
Once fall season starts, I mean, it's hard to fish. It really is.
I told my wife, she agreed with me 150%. I go, I have two halves of my brain, and that's it. I go, there's one half, and it goes all the way up to fall, and it's dedicated to fishing. The other half is hunting, and I said, there's not really room for much else. So
yeah.
And she got mad at me when I said that.
Yeah, I mean, that's typical for your wife to be like, well, where's my portion at?
Yeah, exactly. It's somewhere. It's somewhere in between. There might be a little chunk in there.
But, I mean, I won't say I won't fish. Like, I really like wintertime fishing. Afternoon is great, in my opinion, in the wintertime. So I'll be able to, you know, do my duck hunting and stuff early morning and then fish afternoons.
And get October a little, coming up. So,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah. Do a little cast and blast type deal.
Hell yeah. I'm ready for snipe, man.
Yeah. Yeah, snipe. Another thing, back to fishing, shad season.
Oh, yeah.
If you haven't got into shad fishing, man, it's the way to go.
I haven't really done it much. I think I went, like, one time with you, but I was, like, my problem is, like, if I'm going to go out at that time, I'm going for spec. Like,
yeah,
I can't.
Yeah. Well, it depends. So, last year was slow. Shad was slow last year, so we did a lot of spec fishing. But the year before, dude, I found this corner down south of 46 quite a ways, and it was almost every cast. We were hooking into them. And it's like juvenile tarpon fishing. Yeah. I mean, they jump. it's a blast. We throw like 3 to 5 weights, sometimes 5 weights if the river's wider.
Mm-hmm.
So just so you can get a little bit farther a cast out. Because, I mean, a lot of times you're blind casting, so the farther cast you go, the more ground you can cover. But yeah, dude, it's a blast. And when they're popping off, I'll kind of trigger in on those, and I won't worry about the specs as much. But when the season's slow, yes, I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I'll go try to find some specs.
You
I love
can't eat
eating
those
some
shad, man.
I agree.
I'm ready for it, man. I got to get my skiff put back together.
Yeah.
I still got my motor halfway taken apart right now.
Mad story of a boat.
I'm bummed out about it, but it's one of those things that, like you said, it comes with the territory of mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm.
I mean, in my opinion, it couldn't have happened at a better time.
No, absolutely.
Because we're now in hunting season, so, like, you can work on it when you get home in the afternoons, and, like, you're not like, oh, my God, I got to go fishing tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, who cares, kind of, because you'll just get up the next morning and grab your bow or you know, shotgun if you're snipe hunting or duck hunting, something like that, and you're not too worried about the skiff.
Yeah, I just got to bum rides off of people right now mm-hmm. to get out for snipe, but, I mean, we got a month or so.
I mean, the airboat's the way to go, dude. Like, what I was doing last year is I'd throw my shotgun in my gun scabbard in the rigging, and then I'd have my fly rod or my spec rod behind me in the seat. So, like, early morning, I'd usually snipe hunt first.
Yeah, before it gets hot.
Right. Walk around, shoot a, you know, not always my limit, but at least four or five snipe.
Yeah.
Throw them in the cooler in a little Ziploc baggie so they wouldn't spoil all my drinks and stuff. Then go find a corner and we'd shad and spec fish and do like a little casting pass. It's awesome. There's no better way to do it than out of the airboat, like I was telling you the other day.
Yeah. I'm stoked for it. But, I mean, you've got big news to talk about right now.
Yeah.
You're already on the board.
Yeah. Shot a nice, healthy doe last night.
There you go.
That was pretty cool.
Hunting for meat.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody hates on it, but, you know.
Not me, man.
Hey. My fiance loves cooking venison, so she is all about that. If you let a doe walk, I'm gonna be mad at you. So I almost did, man. This doe jumped the fence in front of me, came, started eating, and I'm watching her and watching her and watching her. I'm not talking like feels like I legitimately probably watched this deer for close to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, this is cool. Like, my heart rate had already gone back down. I'm like, all right, cool. You know, I'm watching. She's not showing any signs of any buck or anything being behind her. So I'm just watching her. And then I'm thinking, I'm like, you know, it's opening day. So half of me is like, you know, maybe I should let this doe walk.
Yeah.
But then the other half of me is like, you know, I could just taste like some venison burgers right now. And then I'm like, I have multiple does coming in, like, on my trail camera.
Regularly. Are they coming to corn, or are they just...
They're coming to corn. Yeah. So, it's a buddy of mine's property, so it's private land, so I got some corn out.
Not hating on corn at all. Right. If it's legal to do it, you might as well do it.
Yep.
In Alabama, I gotta pay an extra, like, $50 to put corn out on my top of my, deal.
Right. So, I'm like, well, you know, there's multiple does, so it's not like if I shoot this one, I'm gonna, you know, ruin my risk of having bucks come in chasing does and all that. So I'm like, you know, I think I might do it. And then she was facing. And then, like, I'm not even kidding. Just when I was like, I think I might do it, she literally just, for some reason, turned broadside. Like, perfectly. I'm not even kidding.
That was a good
like,
Lord
she was,
talking to
like,
you, man.
I guess so. Because she was eating one way. So there was no reason for her to switch, but she literally just switched. So I'm like, God, I got to do it. So I didn't even have an arrow in my knock. Like, I grab an arrow out of the quiver.
You don't have an arrow knocked?
I didn't. No, I didn't. I wasn't really expecting. Really? There was neighbors making noise, and it was just, I was just enjoying.
That's when they walk out.
I know. It was a rookie move. Yeah. Whatever. So I knock an arrow. She, you know, kind of sticks her head up, but she looks down the road, not anywhere near me. And I'm like, okay, cool. She has no idea.
So I've got something on that. What made you pick this spot? Like, what made you...
So, the way that this piece of property works is his house is dead center mm-hmm. of the piece of property. It's 10 acres.
Oh.
So, his house is dead center, and one half is like, I don't want to call it a cow pasture, but they have goats and stuff, so it's like a little mini pasture.
Yeah.
And there's like a small little block of woods, a small little block of woods. And when I say small, I'm talking like it's 30 yards wide.
Yeah.
So there's not really a place except for where I'm sitting.
Gotcha.
And where I'm sitting is I'm like 200 yards from his house. And that's the farthest point away from his house in the woods. So I'm like, this is where it's happening.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I knocked the arrow. Get ready, draw back, and drilled her. I mean, I shot her a little high. It wasn't the greatest shot, but she ducked when I released, and it dropped her. She didn't go nowhere. Dead in the tracks, which was another great thing, because last year when I shot the doe, we came in there and had to track it.
Yeah.
And a buddy of mine had his dog, so it was us, the dog. Like, we just trampled all through the woods, and it messed up the hunting for a while.
Absolutely.
So this time I dropped the doe, no noise at all. Doe hits the ground. I, you know, let her die. I probably wait 20 or so minutes, climb down, go jump in the truck, drive the truck up just like I always do when I check my trail camera and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Loaded her in the bed of the truck and pulled out of it.
Yeah,
and it
was still daylight. Already getting pictures right now.
Right. So it could not have worked out any better. Okay. No tracking. No, nothing. Like, it was just in and out. Took her to my fiance's dad's house, and he's got a walk-in cooler, so we cleaned it there, threw it in the cooler to wait, you know, 3 or 4 days or something like that. You know, he's got his routine down. I've never had a walk-in cooler until him, so he's going to call me and be like, hey, you know, he's got the meat processor and everything, so I just go to the store, buy a little fat, go out there, and we'll process it. So it was a pretty cool hunt, man. Even though it was just a doe, and it was a good one. She was probably about 100 pounds.
Yeah,
it was a good doe.
It surprises me every time I do it or see it. Like, you can shoot a deer, and they just keep, like, in Alabama, I've seen it so many times. We'll shoot a deer, go pull that deer out of the woods, and then here comes like the target buck on camera after we shot a doe or something. Yeah. You're like, son of a gun,
dude. Patrick shot an 8-point last night. He said they were tracking it. They made it 100 yards, and he got a notification because he's got a cell cam. Got a notification. A different buck was chasing a doe by his camera 100 yards away as they were talking, tracking a deer.
Yeah. When they get in that rut mode, dude, they've got one thing on their brain, and they just don't care.
It's crazy to me, though, that, like, they're either – it's one side of the spectrum. They're either insanely smart that it doesn't matter what you do, they're going to bust you. Or they're so stupid and they'll walk right by you.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Matt Ammons yesterday sent a video in the group chat. He was hunting out of his side-by-side. There's like a little, it was a spike or a little 4-point. I think it had forks. It was a 4-point. Dude, this spike is like 100 yards from him, just looking at him in a field, and he's in a blue side-by-side hunting. Like, I don't have that luck.
Oh, no, not me.
I don't have that luck. I have literally hunted my ass off for, like, the past 5 years. And, like, I don't know, dude. I'm at, like, 8 does now.
Yeah.
And no bucks. But, like, I try to wait. And I'm like, I'm not going to kill this doe. And then I just don't see anything. And I'm like, well, I need to kill a doe before bow season ends. Yeah.
No, I agree with that totally. I will not put you down for shooting a doe. It's funny you say that, though. In Alabama last year, I think it was,
mm-hmm.
I was walking. So I walked in kind of later in the evening. I think I was helping my wife and my daughter or something.
Right.
So I was like, all right, I'm going to get in there. And walk up this. So in Alabama, there's a lot of hills and mm-hmm. like little ravines down to this creek. And I'm coming down this hill. And I look over to my left and I see this forky buck
mm-hmm.
walking the same ridgeline as I am, but down low. So mm-hmm. I kind of like squat down and damned if that thing didn't take the same exact line I was on.
Did he
and
just walk?
He came. No, he comes straight to me.
Oh, at
because we're kind of paralleling each other, mm-hmm. and he cuts and comes straight to me, and until he was within 10 yards of me, this deer, and I'm like sitting there still, and I've got my rifle up, and I was like, I'm not gonna shoot this buck,
right?
I want to let him walk, and he is no lie, 10 yards from me, and just we are eye to eye, and I'm like frozen. You know, just as frozen as can be, mm-hmm. until I was cramping in my back leg, and I was like, this dude's gonna spook. Like, there's no way he's just gonna walk away.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did, and I just, like, I couldn't get myself to just stand up and spook him. I was mm-hmm. like, I'm just gonna let him do it on his own. And he finally did. But it was so cool just to see him up that close and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love it. Man.
A couple years ago, me and John Pugh were hunting turkey season. And we had a buck walk up on us, dude, and it was so... like I said, it blows my mind. It never happens when I want to kill a deer.
Absolutely.
But we're turkey hunting, and this buck literally walks right up on us. Like, he's, I don't know, 40, 50 yards away, staring at us. And we're, like, in a clearing. We're in a clear cut.
Yeah.
And this, like, there's no, like, oh, those are trees. Like, dude, we're wide open in a clear cut, like, whisper talking. Looking at each other, you know, turning back to the deer. It's like we're moving. This deer's just looking at us.
Yeah.
And then he'd go back down and eat. Then he'd look back up at us. And we watched him for probably 20 minutes. So he finally ran away. I'm like, dude, why can't this happen when I'm trying to kill a deer?
Yeah. Well, where was it at? I don't know, man. It's when I went to Kansas, those deer were definitely different. They weren't really spooky. They were just on different patterns.
Yeah.
Florida deer, like, they're either so pressured that they're just on another realm, you know, mm-hmm. or they're just, you know, or they're dumb as a sack of hammers. Mm-hmm. I don't understand it.
I definitely do think, though, that Florida deer hunting, I mean, not that I've done a bunch of out-of-state deer hunting, but I've always heard that Florida deer hunting, man, if you can kill bucks consecutively in the state of Florida, you can kill them anywhere.
Yeah, it's one of the hardest parts about that is finding somewhere like a tract of land big enough to like mm-hmm. do some serious hunting. Like it's
then if you do, half the time it's so thick it's hard to hunt. Yeah. It's just the woods and it's so thick down here.
Dude, the land we have in Alabama is 80 acres, but it hunts like 150.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like it's just and half of our land up there is hay fields.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm surprised we get as many deer as we do. And what I'm excited for come October, because that's when archery starts there,
mm-hmm.
My whole adventure of trying to kill a doe from the ground, like a spot and stalk with my bow, because it's like I don't have much cover when I'm where I can really see them,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to make it happen.
That's awesome.
I'm convinced. I'm just going to kill one while I'm walking up to it.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's back to the Florida thing. Like you can't, there's very few places you can do that. Like, my granddad's property up in Mims, dude, like, you can set up on, like, the biggest clear cut you can find, which is pretty much non-existent, and I swear to God, Ty, a deer can walk 30 yards away, and you would never see him. Never see him. So, it's hard, dude. It's hard.
Yeah.
Unless you just have that, which I know a few people do, they just have that luck. They can kill bucks.
Yeah.
No matter where they go, it seems like you kill them out of the Walmart parking lot.
If we get more than two people listening to this, they're going to be like screaming at the phone. I do it all the time.
Right.
Well, you hear like flip.
Or I guess we just freaking suck.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
It's a wonder we got the authority to make this. But you hear Flip, like Flip Powell talks about it, man. He just, mm-hmm. he'll have his recurve, which, I mean, that limits your distance even
mm-hmm.
more.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just walking. He goes, it takes an hour and a half to cover 100 yards.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I think it's a lot of things, like, it does take time to grow that patience mm-hmm. to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I try it all the time, but I'm moving too quick. I'm not scanning enough or I'm moving
right.
too quick.
Right.
And it's so hard to catch it. In the woods, like an open field, you're able to see that deer from so
right.
far away. But
right.
when you get into that thick, you know, thick woods and... where you're not, if you got to be on top of your game to be able to see that deer before it sees you, because they are
mm-hmm.
way more prepped for it than we are.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, I was watching something and listening to it, and they said it's like every deer in like the southeast just already has its head up mm-hmm. looking in the trees. It's like, what? Why are you not looking for ground animals like you're meant to do, but they're
right.
literally looking up in the trees for hunters or whatever they need to look for.
Yeah, I hear you.
Ain't like the, you know, cougars around here staying up in the trees or
mm-hmm.
on the ground.
Yeah, yeah, I got some scouting to do too, because we have my permit coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna try to get Friday off, take it off from work, and go do a little bit of scouting. I got a scout day then. I've already done a little bit of scouting, you know, bike and whatnot that I can do now, but it definitely makes it a little easier being able to drive at least some of the way on Friday. But my boss was pretty cool about it. He told me the other day I left early on Friday to go pick up my airboat from the mechanic down in Melbourne. And I said, hey, is there any way I can leave? Like, I know, like, at lunchtime, I know we got a few more hours of work. I was like, is there any way I can leave? And he's like, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm going to pick up my airboat. He's a big airboater, too. And he's like, oh, absolutely. He's like, dude, if it's hunting or airboat related, it's excused. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, dude, you don't got to tell me twice.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, so I'm cool to go. And he's like, hell yeah, man. Take that thing out this weekend. Run it. Yeah. Give it hell. He goes, have fun. I'm like, all right, see you Monday.
Have that thing ready for snipe season.
Yeah. So, yeah, hopefully I'm going to come in Friday tomorrow and be like, hey, man, I'm taking off on Friday.
Yeah.
He's going to be like, what are you doing? Well, I'm scouting for hunting.
And
he's
gonna be like, okey-dokey.
Yeah, exactly. That's the hope.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know, man. We got to get you off this buck skunk.
Yeah. I'm in a skunk with bucks, man. Well,
the biggest thing is you got to stop worrying about ducks so much.
I can't.
Put a bee there, man.
I can't. They're not going to be there. They move more than deer do.
No, I mean put a B instead of a D.
Oh. I hear you. I thought you said they're going to be there, and that's why I was like, no, they're not. Yeah, they migrate, no. But no, right now, man, I'm all about deer because, yeah. I mean, we got early teal coming this weekend, but that's literally, it's a week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, okay.
When does Maine duck start?
November. It's like the week before Thanksgiving.
So I could get you up to Alabama for,
absolutely,
for an archery
all of October
hunt.
I do nothing but fish or deer hunt in October.
Yeah, so we can get you up there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to take you up. See if I don't know if we're gonna kill any bucks, but I mean shooting a doe up,
whatever,
there would be something to do.
Hell yeah, I want to go up there in turkey season, man.
I know.
Like, I'm not trying to invite myself, but
no,
like,
I've already told you.
I've killed a bunch of Osceolas. Like, I've shot them my whole life. I've never killed an Eastern. And, like, I mean, I'm not, like, super crazy about, like, I want to get the grand slam of all of them in the United States. Trust me, that's badass.
Yeah.
But it takes some money. But at least want to get an Eastern because that's doable. I mean, that's literally one state up.
Yeah. No, and like I said, the amount of birds we have up there.
Yeah.
On the little track of land that we have, we can make it happen. I mean, I made it happen last year.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not a big turkey hunter. Like,
see, I love it. I'm eaten up with turkey hunting.
After killing that one, it was definitely,
I'm
like,
telling you,
badass.
It's the way to go, dude. It's the way to go. So, let's talk about a little bit of fishing so we don't get just into hunting on this podcast episode.
Edit something in there or put something in the title. Like, if you want to hear fishing, it's way later in the deal.
Yeah. Like, add it in. P.S. By the way, we will talk about fishing. It's just not right now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're hunting.
Hopefully we do enough episodes of this that, like, later on when we are fishing hard again, it'll come back up.
Yeah. But, dude, I don't even know. I've just been deer hunting.
You've been
so, like,
so
I don't
focused,
even have
huh?
that many stories.
Well, I mean, we went out the other day.
Yeah. Yeah.
We caught some snook.
Yeah,
lost a redfish.
Yeah. That, you want to know the worst part about that? I don't know if I told you this. So, that was the third redfish that I had lost a week time. So, that's number three. So, that was Saturday. Sunday, me and another buddy of mine, Cody, we went out again. And we're fishing. And I'm like, hey, this culvert's pumping. Like, we caught some fish out of the outflow side into the lagoon. And I'm like, I'm just going to go over and throw a cast on the other side.
No.
Did I tell you this story?
No.
So, I'm, you know, dude, I'm ripping like 9-inch snook. Like, one after the other. I'm not kidding. I catch like probably 7 or 8 of these things. So, being snook, even 8 inches, they wear on your leader. They just do. They chafe it up. So,
no.
I'm like, hang on. I'm like, I should probably change it. And I'm like, why? Dude, if I break off on an 8-inch snook, I've got 8 of them. Like, why does it matter?
Yeah.
I'm not doing it. I don't feel like retying. So I swear to God, the next cast, I dump like, I don't know, probably like a 60, 70-foot cast. It's about as far as I can because of my back cast hitting mangroves. And the fly perfectly lays out. And there's like a couple little micro tarpon rolling. I'm strip. And this, dude, this V-wake, probably 4 to 5 inches high off the surface of the water,
oh my
comes
God.
Behind my fly. And I'm like, oh shit. So I start speeding it up. Dude, I see this big freaking mouth just come up and annihilate my fly. I set the hook. When I set the hook, he turned sideways and came up high. And it was, I swear to you, a 30 to 32 inch red. And I'm like, oh my, and it was an impoundment red.
Yeah.
So it's, dude, fluorescent orange. Like, it's, there's no mistaking.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, and then like I come tight on him. Pow! Breaks me off. I'm like,
oh my God.
I'm like, this is number four. This is number four lost redfish in a week. I'm like, I don't understand because I haven't lost four redfish in the past 5 years.
You need to go to church.
Dude, I know. I don't know what it is. I know. Or at least Sunday school.
Yeah.
Read the Bible, something. I don't know. The Lord was punishing me. But he at least was with me on my deer hunt.
Exactly.
But anyways, yeah. Redfish. I'm cursed right now with redfish. So thank God it's hunting season. Because, like, I don't know how much more I could take.
We're in the same boat.
But then again, yes, I do. But then again, at least we hammered those snook, me and you, the other day.
Yeah, we got some pretty good snook.
So, like, I know I'm not in a fish skunk. I'm in a redfish skunk.
Yeah.
So, I mean, come on, dude. We're in Titusville. So, as far as fishing goes, we're in Titusville. Yeah. I mean, technically, we're in Mims. But you get what I'm saying. Anyways, we're in Titusville. We got the Mosquito Lagoon. Like, dude, a redfish curse can't last that long when you fish the lagoon. So, exactly. Like, I'm not obviously worried about it, but it is kicking my ass right now. Yeah. So.
And, by the way, if you want to see a picture of those snook, you can look on our Instagram page.
Yep. Posted them on the Native Florida podcast.
Mm-hmm. Native Cracker podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
My Native bad. Florida wasn't too bad either.
Yeah, but I think I'm that sure was kind of taken.
Yeah.
Sure. Dude, we just struggled so hard to find some type of name. Everybody now just makes a name and then they'll, you know, trademark it or whatever that's called.
Yeah.
LLC it or whatever. And then it's taken. But, like, half of the Instagram pages you go looked at are like that. They're not even active. So, it's like, how are we going to come up with a good name?
Yeah, do you name it that still, knowing that those Instagram pages? It's hard.
Man. So, when we made, you know, Ty mentioned, you know, since we are native Florida crackers in his term.
In his term. That's a Florida term, baby.
Yeah, well, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But he wanted to include cracker, which I thought was pretty good, too. So. I thought of the Native Cracker and I typed it into Instagram. He typed it into Google and nobody had used it for any type of business or anything like that. So boom, we're stuck with it.
Yeah. Once again, somebody's going to come up. Hey, that's the name of my, my shirt company from the '80s.
Yeah. Well, they're, it doesn't matter. I'm having my sister work on some stuff right now too. She wants me to give her some ideas.
Oh, some like artwork or something.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't mind making, like, you know, just a small run of, like, stickers or maybe even, like, some t-shirts or something.
Oh, you give me stickers, bro. This whole county is going to be painted.
Absolutely. Every boat ramp from here to freaking New Smyrna, dude.
They're going
to
get on there. They're like, oh, well, I guess I'll listen to it. Oh, this is a shitty podcast.
They're like, well, why is this podcast stuck on the boat ramp sign when all these kids want to do right now is talk about hunting?
Yeah.
What losers.
Or there's going to be kids going on there since they listen. They're like, they didn't bring up NLBNs in the first 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Don't even get me started. We're not getting into that.
I thought I'd fire you up a little bit.
I know, but we said this is only a positive podcast.
Yeah.
We're trying to uplift people, bring unless them together, bring the community together. Not
talking shit about each other.
Yeah, that's a different level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. What else you got?
I'm trying to think.
What I mean, Nick's up to three Toyota trucks.
Yeah, I have a little bit of a Toyota four-wheel drive addiction. I have I just recently bought an 87. So I got the 87. I have my 94 that no matter how much shit that truck gives me, I can't get rid of it, dude. I've had it it's going on 7 years now, and I have double the money of what the truck's worth into it. But it's just, it's like my thing, dude.
It's lasted you longer than any truck I've ever had.
Yep.
I've gone through, like, I'm 24, about to be 25, and I've gone through, like, 6 trucks so far.
Yep. And then I got the newer Tacoma. I finally gave up on trying to daily the 94.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that just was a shit show in itself. So, it never left me stranded. It would always make it home, but barely.
Some of those some of those times going home are pretty rough.
Dude, one of the times I blew the, we went to Holopaw in St. Cloud and rode four wheelers.
God damn.
I blew the transmission at 192 and 95. So Melbourne, South Melbourne.
Yeah.
Blew the tran. I drove this truck all the way home to my parents' house, holding the shifter in fourth gear. If you let go, it would grind and shove the shifter into neutral. So I'm just like, I'm going to try holding it. Like, I held it, and it made racket. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But I'm like, what can I do? Blow the tranny more?
Yeah.
I mean, who cares?
It's already toast. As long as you stay in that gear
now. So, dude, I held that thing in fourth gear and freaking kept the truck at, I don't know, 65 mile an hour cruise all the way home from Melbourne in the 94 pickup.
If you guys were looking for the person you hated on 95 that day, it was...
No, but that was at like 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
I thought it was a U-joint. Like, I pulled off on the side of the road, and I'm like, yeah, maybe I freaking broke a U-joint, or at least it's super worn, because, I mean, we gave it hell at Holopaw. The parking lot was super nasty because it rained. So I'm like, yeah, maybe I just tore up my U-joint. So before I just drove it home and threw my shaft on the ground, I crawled up underneath it, and I'm like, no that
sure.
thing is brand new. Damn it. My tranny is done. So I ended up finding another one from a buddy of mine up in Edgewall. I'm like, all right, well, I'll go buy it. I gave him like $300 for it. So I can't complain. But it was in a mud truck. So he's like, listen, dude, like, I know that it ships, but that's all I know about it. I'm like, I get it. It's $300. Like, what more? Whatever.
For a transmission, not bad.
So we hang it up in the truck. I pull the drain plug, and I'm like, or I try to pull the drain plug. I was thinking I was going to pull the drain plug. That's where I'm getting at. So, dude, I got a ratchet on this drain plug, and I'm turning it and turning it and turning it. And I turned this thing for 5 minutes, and it's just turning, but it's not unthreading.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to get the impact and give it everything. So I put a half-inch impact on it and hit the, you know, reverse button.
This is the one you bought?
This was the one that I bought. And the threads were stripped. But get this, it didn't leak. The drain plug didn't leak, but it was barely, it doesn't even make sense. But I'm like, all right, well, I'll at least pull the fill plug up and just top it off with gear oil. So I get gear oil and I pull the drain plug out. I'm filling it. Well, it comes out, it is like caramel coffee colored. And I'm like, light caramel coffee color.
Yeah.
Colored, like they stuck a bunch of creamer in it, like,
yeah,
it was almost white
water in there somewhere.
Yeah. And I'm like, damn, dude. So like, I got a drain pan, so I keep pumping it, thinking like most of it's water coming out, and I'm like, well, whatever, dude, we'll try it. So I drove it for a year.
Really?
1 year. I got a year out of it, so it was worth the $300. But
absolutely.
At the end of the year, and that one, there was no, like, holding it. I think that one, the only gear it didn't blow was third gear.
Hey,
so
man.
That time, once again, did not leave me stranded. I made it home. So, yeah, anyways, this is back to the truck thing, you guys. This is my luck with this truck, and that's like I was saying before. It's a miracle that I still want to keep
this
truck.
How many wheel bearings went on that truck?
Well, I went through this phase when I first got it, when I was younger. That I wanted the freaking 2414s, big wheel spacers. You know, I thought I had a show truck, even though it's a 94 pickup.
It didn't
prefer to keep wheel bearings in itself. You know, it's like, yeah.
I have my opinions about the wheels on that truck.
Yeah, you know, it happens.
I don't need to voice them.
But now I got 17x8s and boggers on it. So I got, you know, you can't talk shit about boggers.
No, absolutely.
Except for the fact that they ride like complete ass on the road.
It looks like a man's truck now instead of a little boy's truck.
But yeah, so what I think I'm going to do, though, is I'm going to, because now it's got a brand new motor in it. It's got a new tranny. I put a good tranny in it. I got it out of a truck that some guy had that he totaled when he was a kid, and it had like 100K on.
You just had that?
It was just sitting in his yard, dude, with this... plants growing all over it. I made a post on Facebook. He's like, I got a tranny. So we like freaking jacked this truck up, pulled the tranny, and I paid him, I think that was $500. So still dirt cheap. put that tranny in it, dude, and it is flawless. Best transmission I've ever had in it. So I got a good tranny in it, brand new motor.
Best transmission I've ever had in it.
Right. I put a new transfer case in it, rebuilt the axles. They got brand new 488 gears. So it is about as mint as it can ever get internally. Now, because I've had it for so long, and it is, you know, truck, the paint is, it's pretty much shot. So I think what I'm going to do is, now that I have the red 87 to kind of beat on a little bit, I'm going to pull the 94 into the garage and pull it apart, paint it, make it super nice again, order a good set of tires to put on it. So, it, you know, the boggers are great, but I don't need two trucks with swampers.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put, you know, good tires on the gray truck and drive it. Not daily it, but drive the shit out of it.
Yeah. That'd be sweet, man. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, yeah.
I always love that truck.
I love it, too. Like I said, I can't get rid of it. As big of a piece of shit as it is.
Yeah.
What about your truck? You got your dream truck right now,
I
huh?
do. 02 Toyota Tacoma.
Yeah. People are probably listening to us like, why the hell do these kids dream of having 30-year-old Toyotas? And if you don't like Toyotas, you'll never know.
It's a totally a niche thing, and I don't know why I like
right.
them.
But if you do like Toyotas, you know exactly why we love these old trucks.
Dude, I got that truck. It was exactly what I wanted. I don't know how I got it. It has.
You got a good deal on it.
Stock rear diff locker. Yeah. I got it for $8,500.
That's a good deal.
Yeah.
For everything it had.
Yeah, absolutely. Rear diff locker, aftermarket front diff locker. Had 35-inch swampers on it that are now on Nick's 87.
Yep. It's got an ARB bumper.
ARB bumper. The front diff is ARB. It's got a lift on it. I'm stoked. It's the Hunter green, or the Forester green, I think is what they call it. And it was exactly the color I wanted. Mm-hmm. I mean, I couldn't have asked for much more.
And it's a four door, which is sweet.
Yeah. That was because you got
your kid and everything. So you gotta have a four door.
Yeah. It was everything I wanted in this little package. And boom, I got a hold of the guy.
And it wasn't even that far away.
Well, when I went and got it, it was dead on the side of the road.
Mm.
And I was like, I think that was the truck. And I got to the house, and the battery died on the guy. So I was like, man, I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's got any more issues. Jumped it. It ran. I drove it. It ran good. And I was like, it had a squealing noise. I didn't know what it was. It wound up being the carrier bearing.
Right.
But I was like, man, I don't know. I don't know if I should get it. And I was like, screw it. I'm going to do it. So I
take the chance.
I take the truck to O'Reilly. Battery's bad. Put a new battery in. Mm-hmm. And drove that bitch all the way home, no problems at all. Just last week I had to put an alternator in it, finally. And I was like, I saw my battery light on for the longest time, and I was like, I don't know, it just turns on when it rains. Like, right. I thought that was what it was, but I was wrong. It was the alternator,
yep.
Man, she drives like a dream, brother. Like, yeah. I could ask for more.
I agree. Power windows, freaking
I got
ice cold AC.
Ice cold.
And everything works like it's a brand new truck. Yeah. And it's, what? 23 years old?
22.
Yeah, 22 years old.
Damn.
Hell yeah.
Well, what else you got, Nick?
I mean, I don't know. You want to keep it short and simple for the first episode?
We're at almost 40 minutes.
Yeah, we can do that.
I think we did pretty good on this one.
Yeah, I agree. If you guys ever, you know, if you're listening to this, if you have any ideas of, you know, something for us to talk about, just anything like that, you know, I'll post links and stuff on the Instagram page. We'll probably eventually make a Facebook page. Just comment, message us, you know, say something, what you'd want to talk about. And like I said, we're going to have guests, and we got some pretty good plans for it. It should turn out pretty good. We're hoping, we'll see, I guess. But yeah, I think for the first one, I think that was pretty good, man.
Yeah, man.
I'm happy with it.
I totally agree. So. We appreciate you guys tuning in.
Absolutely.
Hopefully the next one will be coming out soon. I don't know if this will be bi-weekly, weekly.
We'll try to do it weekly. And then if, you know, because, I mean, life happens, dude. Like,
absolutely.
Busy things happen. So if at worst case scenario, bi-weekly.
Yeah.
But no more than that.
Yeah.
I would like to do it at least once a week. We'll try to come up with a designated day. And obviously, like I said, life happens. We'll have to, you know, cancel or at least postpone it like we did this weekend because I shot that deer.
We were supposed
to do it last night, but... You know, got to clean it and do all that. There's a lot of work into it, obviously, you know. So, but yeah, man. Sounds good.
I think we did good, man.
I agree. Thanks, right, everybody, y'all, for listening.
Talk to y'all later. Bye.